Hi, Claire and James here. Just before we get stuck into this week's episode, we wanted to let you know the exciting news that the Midlife Reset Audit is now live. This is a first of its kind personalised diagnostic tool designed for midlifers by midlifers.
In just 3 minutes, the audit will help you pinpoint what's really holding you back from living your healthiest, happiest midlife. And most importantly, provide tailored strategies on how to take back control. Midlife doesn't have to be a time of uncertainty. It can be an era of growth, discovery and well-being. So to go ahead and take the audit, go to themidlifementors.com/audit.
As we age, fluctuating levels of hormones can impact our digestion and cause unpleasant side effects like bloating, constipation and gas.
As uncomfortable as it can be, there are simple ways we can support our digestive system and therefore reduce the likelihood and frequency of these symptoms.
Hi, I'm James Davis.
And I'm Claire Davis.
We're the Midlife Mentors, here to lift a lid on how to achieve health and happiness.
The balanced, no-nonsense way.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Midlife Mentors with me, James.
And me, Claire. It's like we've done this before, isn't it, James?
Yeah, we've got deja vu.
Yeah, we've got deja vu. Because we've already recorded this.
Technical failure. It happens.
It happens. Hey-ho. But Mercury is in retrograde and we have had so many tech issues over the last couple of weeks, haven't we?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable, I tell you. Anyway, how are you all? We've not done a podcast together for a while, have we?
No, we've had so many amazing, amazing guests on recently, which has been really fun.
We had Chip, who was...
Chip Connolly from the Modern Elders.
Yeah, Modern Elders. He was amazing. Like, really insightful, inspiring man to have on our podcast. And then we had James Priest, who you were checking whether your chat-up lines were good enough.
And he confirmed that they were amazing.
If you haven't listened to that podcast, I've actually had people message me just saying it was really funny. The banter between James and James was quite funny. And
We had Lottie Leaf talking to us about finances.
Yes, we've had Lottie Leaf. And then we've got a lovely podcast coming up with Rosie Green.
Rosie, lovely. That's a great one.
And we've got the lovely Katie Armstrong back with us. And that was one of our most popular, most talked about podcasts all around the menopause. She's a doctor for women's health, all around menopause and perimenopause. And she's coming back to talk to us a little bit more in a few weeks. So check that one out. Look out for that.
But now it's just the two of us.
It's just...
We're back to flying the Millennium Falcon alone. Han Solo and Chewbacca.
Oh my goodness. So, yeah.
James, and I'm Han Solo, so...
You're something, but... the technical fault was down to James, so I'm still in the process of forgiving him, to be honest.
Anyway, so today we're going to be talking about bloating, and we're going to dive a little bit into the hormonal reasons why we get bloated, and then cover off some lifestyle factors, and as always, end with tips to help you get rid of your bloating, avoid bloating in the first place.
But what have we had going on for us? We've had the 4-day mini course.
Amazing.
That was amazing. A hormone course. And then we've got a wonderful group of people starting on the Midlife Method for October. We've got our cohort starting. I cannot believe it's nearly October already. But we are starting with a gorgeous group of people. And I think it's a perfect time to reset after summer. I think also because there is so much craziness going on in the world. I had to laugh. We were in the gym yesterday morning and on the TV screens, I try not to look at them, but on the TV screens, it looked like the end of days.
Oh, it really did. So we've got these big screens, each tuned to different news channels. And like, yeah.
We had one talking about the pound and the economy and the energy crisis. Then we had one talking about Russia and Ukraine. And then one talking about the fact that they've just blown an asteroid out of the water to stop it hitting Earth. So, I was watching this. I was like, this If an alien dropped down now...
Well, an alien will drop down. Don't you think, like, blowing up an asteroid? It's usually one of those things at the start of a sci-fi movie where they blow up an asteroid, but then some alien culture gets really offended and comes for retribution.
So, on that point, I just think this is a really interesting time for humanity. It's a really interesting time, especially if we're going into autumn as well. And people do need support, and it is a change. There's an energetic shift, and I think... we can really easily spiral out of control. We can easily kind of get very, very affected by this stuff that's going on in the world. But the one thing we can control is our reaction to it. And actually having the support of the right people, being in a good community, having an understanding of how to create resilience in mind, body and soul is really, really important. It's life skills. It's something that's going to see you throughout your life, but also just through this really, really testing time, because it is unsettling. And actually just having that routine and that structure to your life can make a massive, massive difference.
Yeah, so as Claire said, we're like onboarding October cohort at the moment, but we've actually already got people signed up for November as well. And that's really interesting, because a lot of people like give the excuse like, oh, well, I've got Christmas, so I don't want that to get in the way, I don't want it to be in. But actually, November's a brilliant time. So people that are signing up are like, I want to go into Christmas, like, in control of my life, feeling great already, having done the work, knowing how to manage that festive period without piling on loads of pounds, and stay and maintain a really positive mindset. So I hit the ground running in the new year.
So it's so easy. It is exactly that. It's so easy to spiral out of control. And then, you know, another month's gone past, another 6 months gone past, and there you are, another year down the line. So, you know, I will always say this, I'll bang on, our health is our wealth. There is nothing more important than getting control right now. So the Midlife Method is starting in October, early October, and then there's another one in November. We'd love, love, love you to reach out to us if you are interested in having a chat about how we can support you. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes about how to find out a little bit more about that.
But, yeah, just reach out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the other thing we've got going on, of course, we're off. I'm so excited. It's only about 2 weeks, so we head to Marbella for our retreat.
Yes. Yes.
Wow, so again, cannot wait for that.
Again, if you want, my goodness, if you want to press a reset button.
In luxurious surroundings, state-of-the-art gym.
I was going to say.
Training on the beach.
I was going to say. It's
fantastic food.
Such a perfect way to have that kind of contact with us as well. Obviously, we host it and we keep it really, really small. You have so much time with us. Obviously, we have lots and lots of fun, but you also have time to really, really pick our brains. We spend a lot of time doing workshops with you, talking to you about the importance of the inner work, the mindset work, as well as giving you loads and loads of tools to create new habits and create new behaviours. So that is happening in a couple of weeks. Again, I'll put the link in the show notes if you'd like to find out a little bit more about that. But Punta Romano is...
it's stunning.
You've got
I can't
us,
wait to be back
You've
out
got us, which is stunning in itself, but then you've got Punta Romano, the most amazing surroundings.
I would say it's our last retreat of 2022.
Oh, it is, yes.
And it's running from October the 13th to 16th, so go check it out.
We'll we've got some lovely, lovely people already signed up. Some past clients coming back for a bit more. So
we do keep this really small, by the way. We never work with more than 8 people maximum, so you get loads of time with us, really personal experience.
Yeah, really personal experience. So let's go on to bloating, because it's something I'm going to talk a little bit about the hormones in a second. James is going to talk a little bit about the gut health side of things, but you know, it's a really, really common thing as we reach midlife. There are reasons why we're experiencing more bloating and more uncomfortable feeling, and especially us ladies with the fluctuation in estrogen and progesterone. And we're going through the perimenopause and menopause. It's one of the biggest symptoms. There are lots, but one of the biggest symptoms that people speak to us about is this feeling of uncomfortable bloating. And it's not nice, because it doesn't feel nice, but it's also not, it doesn't feel great to not be able to fit into our clothes. And dare I say it, not feel, you know, attractive and comfortable in our own skin. So we're going to talk to you about the why, but then give you some tips at the end.
Mm. Just on that, you know, I think a few weeks ago, we had some sort of bug, didn't we? That led to our stomachs being really distended and hard. You know, like, it's like a drum.
It was nice that you
kept
telling
me. Extreme bloating.
He kept saying, Claire, your stomach's bloated. I was like, yeah, darling, I know that.
Obviously, having some sort of bug could be one reason for that.
Yes.
But, Your bloating is normally directly related to a number of lifestyle factors, including your gut health. All right, so things that are going to cause you to bloat out, we'll have certain foods that trigger us. Everyone's different, but really common culprits are, you know, the pulses and beans. They tend to make people bloat out a lot, possibly get gassy as well.
We're laughing because do you want to tell the? I know you were about to say about the baked bean joke.
No, it's not a baked bean joke. I mean, I love baked beans. It's one of my all-time favorite foods.
Oh, they're not a joke. Baked beans aren't a joke.
No, they're
it's very serious.
Sent from the gods, Claire. but since I've been with Claire, my baked bean consumption was really pared back because Claire was like to the point of like, I almost can't look at them. They're disgusting. So, you know, it was a very rare treat for me. Anyway, I was having them one day and Claire went, I'll just try.
Well, I don't like to be defeated.
And then she was like, oh my word, these are amazing. And now she is a baked bean fiend. I mean, like 4 pounds a week minimum.
Come home and find me bathing in a bath of baked beans.
And actually, we both get on all right with baked beans, don't we? But some people don't.
Yeah, and I'm not brilliant. I'm just, this is probably too much information for me to you right now, but I'm not good with beans and pulses. Well, pulses, actually.
They're common culprits for a lot of people.
Yeah, beans are all right. Kidney beans, not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
So there's certain foods that are going to trigger you, but also we're going to go through some factors and tips at the end, but just in general, like a poor quality diet, essentially. So eating lots of processed foods high in sugar, all things that come out unhealthy to your gut biomes, because your gut biome is responsible for running your metabolism, responsible for your mood as well. And if we're putting in stuff that they don't like, they'll react by making us bloat out is one of the ways they'll react, as well as, you know, getting a low mood and our metabolism becoming more sluggish as well. Also things like just, you know, drinking too many fizzy drinks, you know, 7 or 8 pints of lager, all that kind of stuff will make you bloat out.
Alcohol, stress, but we're going to give you all those tips at the end. But yeah, there are so many factors, but I just wanted to touch on some of the hormonal ones. And actually, some of this does relate to the guys as well. But for us women, when our estrogen, progesterone fluctuate during menopause, our water retention increases, so our water retention levels also fluctuate, which can lead to an increase in bloating. So obviously water retention, we all know that because actually we've had that around our cycle, our female cycle. So we always we're holding on to more water around our female cycle. This is the same as we're hitting perimenopause and menopause as well. But estrogen doesn't just play a role in like water retention, it also aids in bile production. So low estrogen may lead to a reduction in bile, which leads to symptoms that cause the bloating. So bile is made in the liver and really helps digestion in several ways. So obviously if we're lacking in that, our digestion is going to be a bit all over the place. Another thing is decreasing amounts of estrogen and progesterone can slow down the process of food passing through the digestive system. And also, doesn't sound very nice, but, and this goes for men and for women, internally, our muscles, you know, our digestive muscles are losing strength. And when the digestive, you know, if it's not working properly with that strength, when that digestive process takes longer, because it's not as strong, more water, again, this is the water retention thing, more water is reabsorbed back into the bloodstream, which can lead to things like constipation, increased gas, and bloating.
I was going to say, the internal muscles play a role, but also the external, right? Because most of us will tend to have weak cores. But as human beings, we're still designed to be upright and moving around on our feet most of the day. But most of us spend our days, if we're honest, slumped in front of a computer or you know, on a sofa. So we get weak cores. Of course, if we do that, our internal organs and our digestive tract can kind of like expand out and flop around. Actually, when we tighten our core, when we work on those muscles in our core and pull everything in nice and tight, it's going to work far more efficiently. So this is a good reason, apart from aesthetics, to work your core, to keep everything pulled in and working nice and efficiently.
Good point, Mr. D. And another thing, this works for men and women. You know, we might actually experience more gas as we age. So it's honestly, aging, I love it, but I'm not particularly fond of this bit. You know, we might be experiencing more gas because we actually lack some digestive enzymes. Particularly, our body makes less lactase, which is the enzyme needed to digest dairy products. This is across the board for men and women. And I've definitely found that with dairy. I actually cut out dairy again about a year ago because it does upset my tummy. It does cause bloating and a sore tummy, but also makes me feel a little bit gunky. So that's one of the reasons why. So if you're finding it a little bit harder with your cheese and your dairy and stuff. That's probably why. And also, as we age, our metabolism is slowing down. And our metabolism actually, as our metabolism is slowing, it slows down the movement of food through the colon as well, which actually increases the amount of gas that we are producing as well. So there's a few reasons there, just to explain to you why that is happening from a kind of like hormonal muscle perspective and a bit of a metabolism perspective. But yeah, it's just really, really important to know that it's not just necessarily about food, or it's not just necessarily about gut health. There is a hormonal response that's going on as well.
So yeah, but of course, at this age in life, you're going to have the double whammy, right? Which means you need to be even more careful and dialing in the other factors, because we know we've got hormonal factors influencing this. We want to make sure we're maintaining like as healthy a gut as we can. So our gut is home to billions of little organisms. They're responsible for a whole host of things. 90% of our neurotransmitters are produced in the gut, directly responsible for our mood and how we feel. To the extent researchers have successfully treated anxiety and mild depression just by giving probiotics to people. So we have a nerve called the vagus nerve connecting our brain and our gut and our other internal organs. It's like a super highway for these neurotransmitters, these chemical signals to flow up and down. Obviously, if our gut's nice and healthy, if those little organs in our gut are healthy, our metabolism is going to be running more efficiently. We're going to have a higher mood, lots of benefits to it. If, however, they're not happy and we haven't been looking after their gut health, then we're going to experience a range of things, possibly low mood, definitely a lower metabolism, things like bloating here. So how do we look after our gut? Well, we're going to run through things. It's a combination of like making sure you're not stressed, and we'll touch on stress at the end, but cutting out certain things and then adding in certain things and doing certain things. So let's run through these. First one is like, make sure you stay hydrated. As Claire highlighted there, constipation can be something that hits us.
This is something, again, something I've had actual experience of. I actually get more bloating and IBS, and I don't get it so much anymore for some of the reasons we're going to explain, because I've cut out some of this stuff. But I when I'm dehydrated, James is like, oh, maybe it's your... And it's so true. When I'm dehydrated, I get IBS and constipation.
We want to be drinking at least 2 litres of water. Just keep everything flushed through. As we saw there, you know, the hormonal changes mean that we're absorbing more water. So that means there's not as much left to flush through the system. So just make sure you are drinking enough each day.
And making sure you're exercising regularly as well. Keeping that whole body moving and keeping it strong as well. Because we might not think exercise is related to bloating, but it really, really is. It keeps the system moving, basically.
Yeah, because you can raise your metabolic rate. Exactly. Get your metabolism up. And yeah, remember, don't neglect those core exercises. Let's start strengthening our core and pulling everything in so it's working more efficiently.
Also, avoid trigger foods. So we're all going to have different trigger foods. We just mentioned dairy earlier on.
But lentils.
lentils and beans. We do have trigger foods. Actually, for me, kale. Kale gives me a
really... Highly fibrous, you see.
Yeah, and it gives me a terrible tummy, like sore. So just actually, it's about very, very much reconnecting with your body. And potentially bringing out some of the things, so eliminating some of the foods that you think might be causing it, and then gradually reintroducing them so you can see, again, what's triggering the bloating or the IBS and things. That's how I managed what was going on for me with my bloating and IBS. I just, like James said, you know, like the kale and the dairy, I just eliminated things and then gradually brought them back in. I thought mine might be gluten, but it wasn't at all.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, get ready. I've been cooking up my nice cheesy kale and bean pie tonight.
Lovely. And actually, you know, we'll talk about caffeine in a second, but caffeine can absolutely, that wasn't a trigger food, it was a trigger drink for me, because it really upset my gut, it inflamed my gut and it really aggravated it. So coffee was one of the things that I had to eliminate as well, one of my trigger things.
Exactly. Now this one might sound like common sense, but avoid carbonated beverages, the old fizzy drinks, right? But it stands to reason, for drinking like fizzy drinks full of gas, we're going to get gassed out, you know. Someone like me is lucky, I can do 8-9 pints in a light, no problem.
He is a one pint wonder at the most, which is very sweet.
This is why the guys get it, right? If you're drinking a lot of beer, in all seriousness, obviously the gas in that, but also the excess calories from sugar and alcohol, that's going to cause the beer belly that are familiar to many men.
And then the other thing is an interesting one, chewing gum. So don't eat chewing gum if you suffer from bloating, because... chewing that gum frequently can cause, basically, you're swallowing little air pockets. When you're chewing the gum, you're potentially swallowing these little air pockets, and they can cause abdominal pain and bloating. So avoid that.
Is that similar to eating with your mouth open, Claire?
It is, because this is my next one, right? It's my pet hate. It is absolutely... I cannot be anywhere near someone that makes noise when they eat. So this, it really is. I've actually stopped...
Gives you the ick.
I've actually stopped dating certain people because of that. Gone for dinner and seen that. Is anyone else with me on this? Please email us and let me know that I'm not alone. I don't think I am, but I actually, and that funny about it, I have left dates because of it.
Glad I kept my mouth shut.
Yeah. So eat slowly with your mouth closed and not on the run. Because again, we're creating little air pockets that are actually going into our digestive system, and that can cause bloating as well. So eat with your mouth closed, eat nice and slowly, and also don't eat on the run, because we're going to talk about stress a little bit more in a minute. But if you're not eating consciously, if you're not just sitting still, don't talk to friends, just sit there, connect with your food, eat with your mouth closed, and you, I promise you, you will find that your stomach issues will be relieved just from that one thing.
So you'll be a barrel of laughs at a meal night out, won't
well,
you?
No,
don't
exactly.
Talk to me.
Don't. I am, honestly, I kid you not.
You say that. So when we go to Claire's mum and dad's, bless them, her mum loves to like sit and chat, and Claire will actually just put her hand up like, don't talk to me. I'm eating.
But it's true. It's really true. If you're trying to have a chat... obviously, you can't do that around a dinner party with everyone, but I do try. I mean, I'm like...
Or you're just antisocial.
I'm just antisocial, and I'm like, listen, I'm eating. This is really important. A, I love my food, but also I don't want to get bloating. So just be very careful on that.
Another thing I want to do is just watch our salt intake, right? So this might not be so much putting salt on your food. Obviously, do watch that. But a lot of food has hidden salts in it. So you're looking at that sodium on the food labels. Because salt causes you to retain water in the body, so that can, again, lead to bloating. So just, yeah, watch your salt intake. Now, for your happy gut, we want to make sure we're eating the right things. Our gut loves prebiotics and probiotics. Prebiotics come from natural fibers. So this is like natural vegetable fibers, but we can take a supplement. And then probiotics are live food, so things that are fermented, like live yogurts,
Kimchi,
sauerkraut, kombucha, all these things are really good for our gut. Or again, you can take a supplement.
The next one is try to reduce your caffeine intake and your alcohol intake. So I mentioned caffeine was one of the triggers for me. It does inflame the gut. It actually, a lot of our coffee is full of chemicals that aggravates the gut. What would you like to say, James? He's looking tense, like he wants to say something.
The
what?
Espresso Martini Society been in touch about you. Sponsorship deal for you.
Yeah, espresso martinis are the worst thing because it's a double whammy.
They're delicious.
But yeah, they are delicious. Not that I've had them for a long time. But yeah, skipping caffeine really made a massive difference to myself. And actually, even the decaf is still quite full of chemicals. You have to be really, really careful with the coffee these days. But it can inflame the gut, as can alcohol. Again, like James has already mentioned, full of sugar is not going to make for happy gut biomes at all, and actually is going to cause so much bloating. I would say if you just took one of these away, we'd like you to take more, but if you just took one of these away, it would be, if you are experiencing IBS, bloating, gas, I promise you, if you cut down on your alcohol, you would find a massive, massive improvement.
Yeah, we do see this with clients when we start working with them. They dial everything else in, but they're still having, you know, two or more glasses of wine a night. Obviously, that's highly calorific. It's impacting their results. It's impacting their mood, but they're still suffering from bloating as well.
Exactly. And one of the things that really helped me was the next one, actually have peppermint tea. You can take it in tablets, but the warm water and the peppermint is really, really soothing to our gut. So give that a go as well.
Oh, I love a cup of peppermint tea after a meal.
And what's the one I have? Peppermint and...
Licorice.
Because licorice has got a little sweet taste. I love my licorice tea.
Very nice tea.
And finally...
Last one, the big one, right? So you could have all of this dialed in, right? You could be aware of your hormones. You could be doing everything to optimize them. You could have done everything else we've talked about, but stress. Stress will cause you to have a multitude of symptoms, but also including possibly IBS, bloating, constipation, all the rest of it. Why? I mean, we've covered this. I think we've done two podcasts on stress.
Yeah, I think we have.
Essentially, the stress response, the chemical cocktail we fire when we're stressed, shuts down the blood flow to the internal organs, including the digestive system, which is obviously going to lead to interruption in digestion, upset, and throw off everything we've talked about so far. So just make sure, you know, you're not overtraining yourself, overexerting yourself, and you are addressing stress factors in your life. And where you can't, like, address them or remove them, you're practicing good stress management techniques to keep yourself nice and balanced.
Well, that's why it's such a fundamental piece for the Midlife Method, our program, because actually, if we don't get our stress management dialed in, it can negatively impact all the other results that we're trying to get, you know, mentally and physically. So really, really important, as James said. So that is our podcast on bloating. Now, we would love you. We hear from so many of you. So many of you come to us and come onto our Midlife Method program, having actually found us, first of all, with this podcast. So we love to hear from you. We love to engage with you. Please let us know if there's any subjects you would love us to talk about. And as always, we're so grateful for your shares, your likes, and all that sort of stuff. So, but please do share this with friends and family. Subscribe, give us a review, because all of that really, really counts. And it really, really, we're so
grateful.
Sharing
is caring.
Sharing is caring. We're always really, really grateful for everyone that reaches out to us.
Thank you.
If you ever want to send us an email, our email is always on the show notes as well. And I think that wraps this podcast up.
It does. I'm off to prepare your evening pie of kale and beans.
Kale and baked beans. Yum, 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 yum. Anyway, I hope that was helpful for you, and we're sending you lots of love.
Bye. Bye.
You've been listening to The Midlife Mentors with Claire and James Davis.
We'd love to hear from you. So drop us a line at info@themidlifementors.com with any questions or topic suggestions.
And make sure you join us on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. You can find us under The Midlife Mentors. Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode, and don't forget to take the Midlife Reset Audit now to receive personalised insights into what's holding you back from living your healthiest, happiest midlife. So go ahead and take the audit now at themidlifementors.com/audit.